Staring out the window from the bridge of the Robinson Bay, it seems impossible that this boat will push through the boulder field of ice chunks that stretches in front of us. It's even harder to believe this is the easy part. Tugmaster Greg McKinnon already worked this section of the canal yesterday. It took 3 hours just to leave the dock, but today the tug slices through the freezing water and ice mixture as it takes off. Standing to one side of the steering wheel, Captain McKinnon guides the boat in a wide circle, like he's stirring a soup or turning soil in a garden.
Right now, I'm just loosening up this area right here that we've already broken up. That's what we do every day. Roil up what we've already broken. It'll make it in smaller chunks and get it rolled over, get the warmer water up from the bottom.
The ice blanket has kept the water below the surface relatively warm. Sal Pisani, an administrator with the St. Lawrence Seaway Development Corporation that owns the Robinson Bay, says the warmer water will help clear the channel.
Nature takes care of most of it. The icebreakers will get into pockets where there's an accumulation of ice to break up that and help the currents flush away some of that ice.
Making the channel navigable is critical to Great Lakes industry. Automakers in Detroit, grain producers in the Midwest, and dock workers in Chicago are only a few who rely on the reliable shipping that pumps billions of dollars a year into the regional economy. When we get near unbroken ice, crew member Andy Cook takes me downstairs to the crew's bunk room. It's right in the ship's hull, the front of the boat. As the tug breaks into fresh ice, I have to hold on to a bunk just to stay on my feet. Cook explains the hull has an extra-heavy steel shell that works like a blade to cut through the ice. If the surface is especially thick, the hull will ride up on top of the ice and push down with the whole weight of the tug. The scraping and rocking dies down after a bit.
We've stopped in the ice flow, and it won't go any further. So what he does, he clears out the ice behind us for a few minutes. He'll let the motor run full, and then when he gets the clear area behind the tugboat, he'll slowly back into it, and he gets maybe 100, 150 feet, backs up, gives another run, and then he'll take another run into the ice.
Outside, I can see what Cook means. Deep blue and green water bubbles up from the 8-foot propeller, displacing wide floating blocks of ice. After a minute or two, the captain backs into the open water and then takes the tug full throttle ahead. As the ship forces its way through the 20-inch thick ice, long fissures race along the white surface. The steel pushes huge chunks on end, and I can see into their emerald green cross-section as they pop above the surface. The ice seems to dance away from the ship's hull. Captain McKinnon says as well as moving forward and back, he steers the tug right and left to clear a wide channel.
Well, you go straight, you don't really open anything up. It kind of locks in behind you. What we're doing here, I guess, would be called like a herringbone, a baseball stitch, where we go back and forth. And that way, you're opening up more and allowing the ice that you're breaking to flush out behind you.
The tug turns around to return to the dock. The going's easier after 2 days' work on this section, and we reach a steady speed. There's almost more water than ice now. But the Robinson Bay still has a few days of work to go to clear its part of the seaway. Other larger icebreakers are working their sections of the hundreds of miles from Lake Ontario in the west to Montreal in the east. With a little cooperation from the sun, the seaway will be ready for the first freighter of the season on Friday. For the Great Lakes Radio Consortium, I'm David Summerstein.